Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Listen up, it's Nick and Sam. Taking you to jungle lands. Bengals pride, it fills the air. Every week we're always there. All the plays, Bengals roar in every way. Stories, news, and game recaps. Jungle Juice, we bridge those gaps. Welcome to the Jungle Juice. Nick and Sam, let's break it loose. Cincinnati, hear our call. Bengals fans, unite us all.
Welcome into this week's edition of the Jungle Juice Podcast. I'm Sam Gormley. He's Mick Nelson. Mick, how's it going?
Yeah, it's going good over here. As your house looks like it's still intact for right now.
Yeah, we've had some storms. Last night really wasn't too bad, thankfully. I thought you were... For a second, I was like, how do you know that I was having some work done on my house today? And it just got done. And I was like, I don't know how you knew this. So I was like, we didn't have a conversation about that beforehand. But no, you were just talking about the fact that we've had some pretty severe weather over these last couple of weeks.
Yeah, is that another one supposed to be kind of roaring through today or no?
No, nothing today.
Well, my wife's a liar.
Now, it could be a different portion of the vast listening area of Jungle Juice. But no, at least where I live. And there's nothing that's coming on. So I don't know. But at least, you know, but what's weird is these next couple of days, it's going to get like football weather cold outside.
Yeah. Yeah. We're already starting to kind of feel it here.
Yeah. I just got out. I went on a walk really quickly. It's usually like my Jungle Juice, like pregame Jungle Juice thing. You know, got to get in the right mindset, you know, got to lock in. Some people like to listen to music before they, you know, play a game or something, but I like to lock in with a nice walk. And I was going up the walk and I was like, oh boy, are you talking about the Colts news?
Jim Irsay's dead, guys.
Yeah.
Oh, that's no. Terrible.
Like 65 years old, right?
Is really only 65?
I thought that's what I saw which again, that was kind of my reaction.
Yeah. He's 65 years old.
Yeah, terrible, terrible. Hooday, Freddie, though. But let's get back on topic here and let's talk about what we are going to go into on today's show. Our main topic for today's show is all about the Trey Hendrickson saga. And I think a saga, I think that's the word I used last week. And I think that's the best way to describe this because there's a lot to digest with this. So we're going to dive into that. We're also going to hit a couple of the headlines from the week because actually it was a fairly newsy week for middle of May. They're helping us out, and yeah. That's going to be nice because this is where we get into the time
of
year.
That was the intention behind all the news. They were like, we need stuff for Jungle Juice to talk about on the podcast.
And we appreciate that. Yes. Trey Hendrickson, keep holding out. It's more for us to talk about, right? Not really. I'd be fine if he just, if they just fix this. But still, we thank you for joining us. Make sure to follow us on social media, Facebook, YouTube, you know, all of it. Podcasting platform, 5-star rating. Remember, do that. And that way you get notified and more people can find the show that way so that we can share all of this great news, like the weather in our neck of the woods, because there's nothing that people care about more. At least your weather for most of our listeners is at least somewhat relevant. Like for me, living 2.5 to 3 hours southwest of the Cincinnati metro, it has no impact really. But
yeah, but your area or a little more west of you is where all the action's going right now.
Really?
Where the action's getting at.
Yeah.
It's the Western Kentucky portion. Of the state there.
Yeah, and then, I mean, you also have the Eastern Kentucky portion of the state of Kentucky who were hit very hard, too, on Friday night. Definitely keep our, I mean, rally around that section, you know, areas of London and Corbin and so on. Some really good people in Somerset down in those areas. But, okay, news of the week for the Bengals. Shamar Stewart continues to sit out. Is this a big deal or not, Mick?
I don't know. It's not like a huge deal. The deal's going to get signed at some point, but it's just like, you already know he's a raw prospect and, you know, he's going to need as many reps as he can get leading up to the season. And I know it's just, you know, is it mandatory minicamp? What's going on right now?
That just started. Yes.
Okay. Mandatory minicamp's going on right now. And it's not a fully padded practice or whatnot, but you still want him to go in and get these reps and to get accustomed with the defense, with Al Golden, with the rest of the defensive line. So just work it out. Like, just why does it seem like the Bengals are the only team that are dealing with this situation with their first rounder? I could be wrong. With that being the case, I'm not sure if the other first rounders have been holding out of rookie minicamp or mandatory minicamp or not. But just get it together. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, and I'm not worried by any stretch because it's May the 21st. Like, Amarius Mims, he signed his deal in, like, July the 20th or something of last year.
But did he participate in these?
Yeah, and I mean, that's
season training activities.
Like, I don't know. It's a little messy, and it's just going to keep on getting messier. And it doesn't help that one of his main roles, at least you're hoping in the future, is that he's the new Trey Hendrickson. You know, you're hoping that he turns into an elite pass rusher or something like that. And then, oh, wait, you're missing him too, which we're going to obviously talk about here in a little bit. So you're missing the two pieces into probably what is the weakest portion on the team.
Miles Murphy's getting a lot of work in right now,
which is a good thing.
I think
that is a positive sign that you could be doing that. Maybe we're going to see more Cedric Johnson. You know, that could be a good thing as well.
Cam Sample back.
Cam Sample is back.
He's playing. Yes. Okay.
Yes. At least I saw him. He was walking through. I don't know how active he's being, at least on the sidelines, but he's at least back to some level of practicing. The other big news of the week, some more came through. The Bengals were awarded international marketing rights in Canada. Of course, Bengals have two Canadians on their team, Chase Brown and Tanner McLaughlin. So you get the Canadian connection. McLaughlin. Yeah, he's a Canadian as well. And this just allows for some media deals. The Bengals were one of the few franchises that hadn't signed a deal with a country, or however you want to look into this. Now, what this does mean is sometimes this could be more likely that you would have an international game in that country.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be interesting, you know, I've not seen any rumors about NFL Canada. I think it's a little different, but like, could the Bengals play in Montreal in 2 years?
Maybe. But no, from what I'm hearing on this, I mean, it's just like you said, it's their chance to tap into other international TV markets. So the Canada connection's really a really good connection there. Like you said, we've got a couple Canadians on the team. Also, they are the, you know, the closest country to us, you know, that's at least to us where we are right now. But yeah, I wonder, part of me wonders, are they going to try maybe to go into other international markets, not to associate the Bengal tiger with the country or the subcontinent of India? But isn't that where Bengal tigers go? Isn't that where they live?
Yeah, I mean, I think some of them, yeah.
Isn't that like, isn't India going to become the biggest, the most populated country in the world by the year like 2030? Isn't that what I'm starting to hear? Or is it already the most populated country in the world?
I'm going to be honest with you. When we started today's podcast, on my bingo card, I did not have what is the population of India.
Well, I didn't even know we were going to be talking about this today. So now we're throwing out stuff.
India is the most populated country.
Is it really? It's already surpassed China. Okay. Yes.
India has 1.463 and China has 1.416.
Okay. Well, it sounds like we need to tap into the Indian market a little bit, because I feel like that would be the Cincinnati Bengals would be a favorite over there. Unless the Bengal tigers are like terrorizing the country over there. Maybe they are.
I think they're battling extinction. So I think they're not good,
but
So I'd assume that they're probably well respected there.
Preserved.
Yeah, there you go. Joe Burrow and Zach Taylor both talked. A couple of the highlights from that. You know, Burrow really kind of changed his tune when talking about the front office, because, you know, a couple of months ago, he was kind of ticked, saying, you know, hey, we need to start paying these guys. And now he says, you know, the front office is committed to winning. Showed that by signing Jamar and T. He says he'd still like to see Trey done, but he's happy that Jamar and T are going to be there with him for the next couple of years.
This is from Joe Burrow.
Nice golf clap. Lori asks which Bengals were traded. Lori, no Bengals have been traded since
yet.
Billy Price, right?
Yes.
Off the top of my head, it's been a while since Bengals
made Billy Price. So it's been about 4 years since
that happened.
Jermaine Pratt could be traded any day. He probably won't be. He'll probably be cut. Trey could be traded at some point, potentially. That's probably the most likely trade scenario is Trey Hendrickson.
And we'll have to come back to that here, too, because I'm sure that'll be something we talk about here in a few minutes when we dive into Trey Hendrickson and stuff, because that's one of, when we talk about ending results, that's one of them.
Yeah.
For it. Burrow also said primetime Baltimore, again, is not in the ideal. He, and his exact word was, maybe we could get that in Cincinnati next year, please. He threw a please in there at the end.
He did throw a please.
And to Burrow, I was like, yes, absolutely, I agree. He then followed it up with saying that he wants to play internationally because one of his main goals in being a quarterback and being an elite quarterback is to spread the game. And he thinks doing that internationally would be the best way to do that. Zach Taylor, not a lot he said, but the thing that at least stood out to me the most was that he says that the Bengals probably are not going to do a joint practice this year with another franchise. And he says currently the plan is to play more starters in the preseason, but he says that is subject to change based on how training camp goes. You know, if they start getting really beat up, he's going to maybe be a little bit more liberal when it comes to that, or conservative rather, as far as saving some guys, because you don't want more players to get hurt with that. And I think we'll probably this summer, I know last year we did the whole argument on it. I think we look into it again about how the Bengals get off to a faster start and does the preseason matter. I know we both look statistically and both found that it has no
impact.
It
doesn't matter. No.
And I think we should look into, okay, why this offseason? I think that could be a fun show maybe in June or July when we're looking for things to talk about. The owners' meetings as well happening right now. The tush push stays. The Bengals, though, voted to outlaw it. It missed becoming outlawed by 2 votes. Do you care?
Yeah, no. I mean, it's a legal play. I think.
Do you care that the Bengals voted to outlaw it?
No, not really. They were, I mean, they were still in the majority of NFL teams that voted on this. 22 teams voted nay. 10 teams voted yay. So the Bengals were in the majority of this vote, which is surprising, because usually Mike Brown is in the minority of almost every vote that takes place at the owner meetings. So it's kind of nice for him to kind of, you know, be a conformist for once.
I like throwing in a conformist reference. I like that. That's a good word to drop in. Then the other news came out that I'm intrigued by is the NFL owners have unanimously approved allowing players to play in the 2028 Olympics.
Yay!
And this is kind of where I'm asking you. And obviously, we don't know what the world is going to be like in 3 years. Do you want Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase playing?
Well, Joe Burrow's not going to get touched. So I don't really care if Joe's playing. Ja'Marr, as long as these guys are... So it depends. I mean, are these guys going to... Because I remember seeing something earlier today. Are other countries going to be able to poach NFL players and put them onto their country's roster for the Olympics?
See, so like Chase Brown would be a great flag football player, I would assume. Now, who knows what Chase Brown will be like in 3 years, but for Team Canada, I'd imagine he'd be pretty decent in that role. Joseph Osai could play a little bit, as I think he is Nigerian background. I think that's right.
Yeah.
But I don't know, is Team Nigeria going to have enough players to...
I think these guys know that the season's coming up very quickly after the Olympics conclude. And I mean, it's really only a week out of their, it's probably only a week out of their time. So I don't think they're going to be missing that much training camp. Also, I don't remember any injuries being sustained in the flag football games for the Pro Bowl for the past 2 years.
But would they be playing harder in an Olympic game?
I mean, potentially, but depends what it also depends on the level of competition that they're playing against. Do they have to play harder?
Yeah, you know, you're not wrong.
We don't know.
No,
I think it'd be cool to watch them play in the Olympics, get more national exposure, and, you know, dominate on the world stage, I guess. If it were gridiron, you know, playing in pads football, I'd say okay, maybe not, but it's flag, I think it'd be fine.
I think it's gonna be a fun discussion in 3 years, you know, when it starts to happen, as to, because who I mean, we don't know what the NFL is going to look like in 3 years. We have no idea as to who or who the future stars are that come in to potentially take the place, because it's wild to say that, you know, in 3 years Ja'Marr Chase will be what, 27 28 years old, you know, Burrow will be 31.
Mm-hmm.
God, which again,
which means we'll be 31.
We'll be 31. And I'm like, oh God, that sounds terrible. Oh my goodness. Okay.
Ouch.
Yeah. My back hurts now. We're closer to 30 than I think I really want to admit. And I'm sure now people in the comments are going to be like, you jerks, you all are just children. And yes, I know in all reality we are, but
I'm only 28, but I look like I'm 45.
I look younger, but I have plenty of baggage, right? That makes me older.
Yes.
We'll say that.
Oh, 100%.
Okay. Trey Hendrickson. Our story of the day. The Trey Hendrickson saga. And what we're going to do here is over this next stretch is we're going to jump into it and talk about, okay, who's in the right? Who's in the wrong? But then also, more importantly, how's it going to be fixed? Or can it be fixed? Can it be fixed? But first, I think it's good for us to kind of take a step back and just let's just talk about Trey Hendrickson. You know, I got some stats here about Trey Hendrickson. You know, last season had his best graded defensive year via PFF, ranked 10th overall. If you're just talking defensive PFF grade, ranked 10th overall in that category. His pass rush grade for PFF, he was 5th. In that category. Over the last 4 years as a Bengal, PFF has tallied him with these numbers. 323 total pressures, 67 sacks, 59 quarterback hits, and 197 hurries. That's productive, without question. Right. Last year, he had a sack in 10 of the 17 games that the Bengals played last season. What do you think the Bengals' record was in games he had a sack?
You said 10 games.
Correct.
9-1.
7-3.
Seven and three
when he had a sack. The negative side, you know, last season, career high 11 missed tackles, missed tackle percentage of 27.5%. His 11 missed tackles were the 12th most amongst edge rushers in the NFL last season. So you're kind of giving and taking a little bit when you go into that. A couple of more stats here. PRP, which is a stat that PFF runs off, which is pass rush.
It's pretty much pressure rate. It's pretty much the pressure rate stat.
And it's so he combines sacks, hits compared to the number of times rushed. And he was fourth amongst eligible players. So I think really, if you look at the list of PFF, he's like 11th or something. But a couple of those guys had 20 snaps. So I threw them out. Like, that's, you're not actually counting them. He was fourth amongst players. And then
with
if you're
a minimum
doing,
of 20 snaps or 20% of the snap chain.
Yeah.
Right?
So, yeah. I didn't necessarily do that. I more just was like, okay, anybody that had less than a couple of games of stats, I threw them out. And then win percentage. Fifth amongst rushers with at least 100 snaps last season. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at Trey Hendrickson. When you see all of these stats, you're seeing him being that he is a top 5 to 7 edge rusher in the NFL.
Yeah.
Any stats that I'm missing there?
Pass rush win rate. Did you already say 20%?
Yes, I did.
Fourth in the NFL. Second in defensive player of the year voting last year.
He was.
One stat that I thought was huge was out of the Bengals had 267 pressures as a defense last year as a whole. Trey Hendrickson counted for 83 of those pressures. That is around 31% of the pressures that the Bengals had. And because Myles Garrett's not too far behind, but it was the most pressure share of any team in the NFL last year.
Now, let's talk about the other downside to Trey Hendrickson. And it's something that I think some people don't like to talk about, especially pro Trey Hendrickson people, is what is Trey Hendrickson's biggest weakness?
Run defense.
And it's not, I mean, it's a big weakness for Trey Hendrickson. He is a great pass rusher. In fact, we can say he's an elite pass rusher, but he is average run defender,
average run defender. Did show signs of improvement in terms of the grading last year, to an extent. So at least we saw an improvement. It wasn't great. It was a 65.9 run defensive grade. I mean, it's probably middle of the league. So we did see some improvement in him last year, but if you're looking at years before, 51 run defensive grade in 2023, 2022, a 58.8, and in 2021, a 40.9 run defensive grade.
Oof. That's brutal. I mean, that's really bad. That's really bad stuff for Trey Hendrickson. Now, when we talk about what he said, there's been a lot said in these last couple of months from both parties. You know, Trey Hendrickson says, you know, when he talked to the media last week, he said things have now gotten personal. And what he specifically mentioned, and I'm curious on your opinion on this, because we did not mention this on last week's show. We briefly talked about the Hendrickson situation, is he was mentioning the text he got from Zach Taylor telling him that he'd be fined if he would not come to these mini camps. Do you have a problem with that message from Zach Taylor? Trey Hendrickson seemed like he did.
Yeah, I mean, I think Trey may have a valid argument as to that specific situation, because why are you texting him that a month before mandatory practices are coming into play here? It did sound like that Zach Taylor was really being a mouthpiece for the Bengals front office for that situation. And I think we've talked about this before, or maybe I've heard in other groups, like coaches try to stay away from these contract situations as much as possible. And I, from what I've heard or what I've seen here, is that Zach has found himself in the middle of this. And that's probably not a situation that Zach necessarily wants to be in. Maybe he was just trying to be a good guy and just say, hey, just make sure you're aware of this, because Trey hasn't really missed any time for contract related issues. Even with last year where he said, oh, I'm holding out. He showed up for every mandatory practice there was, I believe. So I don't know. I don't think that it was a great look, especially to the national landscape in terms of that text message coming out. Obviously, that rubbed Trey the wrong way, especially when he feels like there's been a lack of communication from the front office on this situation. And then you have the coach getting involved in this saying, oh, hey, you're going to get fined if you don't show up.
See, I have no problem with that text message at all. Like, none. To me, it is something that, like, and I'm trying to even think how I want to word it as far as, like Tommy says here that Zach Taylor shouldn't be the one texting it anyway. Keep the business side in the front office. Tobin shouldn't have sent that text. And I understand where he's coming from, and that's kind of, I think, your point in this as well. But I also think that part of the job of the head coach is to be the bridge between the players and the front office. That's part of the job of the head coach. And you sometimes have to be the bad guy.
I don't know if that really should be the job of the head coach. That should be the job of the GM. That's the job of the GM of the team, is to be a bridge between the front office and the team.
But I think the GM is the front office.
To an extent, but also the owners are the ones that are paying the money.
Mm-hmm. So, but, and I think in the Bengals realm, though,
the GM is really in the middle of that.
But still, so I don't know. I just think that Zach Taylor, you know, for the fining thing, I think some people are having an issue with the Bengals threatening that. I think it's a play, and like, this is a business. You know, whether you like it or not, that is a card that the Bengals have, and they feel like they need to use it. Now, whether it's the right thing to do, I don't know, but I think it's at least a card that they have. And I think probably part of that is it is a threat, because I think it's like $50,000 a day is to what they can do, which is doing it. And I mean, like Freddie says here, it might have been this, that Zach Taylor, Freddie says, I like that Zach was looking out for Trey. That's how I took it. And that could have been it too. Like a, hey man, heads up, this is going to start happening if you don't lock in.
See, if you were messaging that a week before these practices were commencing, then I could maybe see that argument. But a whole month, when during that whole month you can be where you could be working on a negotiation with the team and going that route, that's where I think I see a problem with that.
The biggest thing, though, that Trey Hendrickson has said, and I think it's the part that needs to stand out to fans, and we have this discussion further, is that he said, you know, he was asked plain and simple, if you do not get a contract or more money, more years, whatever it is, will you play in 2025? And he said, no. And that's all he said, was no. There wasn't like a, it wasn't a, well, we'd have to discuss this with my agent. It was a no. No, we would not play. And that can raise some alarm bells as well. But okay. Let's talk about the sides of this. I know we've kind of gotten into this a little bit, but let's go about Trey Hendrickson and Trey Hendrickson's argument to the Bengals and what his case is for getting a contract extension, getting more money, whatever it might be. You know, I went back to those stats that I just listed off a few minutes ago. You know, he's a top 5 to 7 edge rusher in just about every statistic, other than run defense. And even, you know, like Tommy said, run defense can be a little misleading sometimes because it does put some faith on your other teammates at times. Missed tackles, that can be a worry as well. But let's look at it this way. So the top 5 edge rushers in the NFL, average annual salary right now, is Myles Garrett making $40 million, Danielle Hunter making $35.6 million, Crosby making $35.5 million, Bosa making $34 million, and Josh Hines Allen making $28.25 million. Hendrickson and Hunter are the oldest on that list, the only ones above 30.
Myles Garrett's also 30, okay. I believe.
Or he, yeah, okay. He's 29. Okay, I think he's 29 and he's getting ready to turn 30. But Hendrickson is older than Garrett, and Danielle Hunter is a little older than Hendrickson, I think. But they're like months apart with it. His argument is he has been drastically underpaid as a Bengal. And I don't think anybody's going to deny that, and the front office won't deny that.
It has been the most highly valued free agent signing that
in Bengals history.
Maybe that the NFL has had over the past decade, I think.
Yeah. But do good, and I think a lot of that is Trey Hendrickson saying, like, I've been underpaid. It's your turn to, like, help me out here. And I mean, I just want to ask the question, like, straight up and with this is, Like, do good teams make up for lost funds like that?
Teams with deep pockets do. Which, not sure how deep the pockets of the Cincinnati Bengals ownership has, but we know that they are the poorest franchise in the NFL. They kind of have to money ball their way into good rosters, particularly how they did it in 21 and 22. So yeah, I think if you're dealing with you know, say if it's the Falcons, you have Arthur Blank, who's one of the...
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
You know, richest owners in the NFL, or you have the Walton family in Denver.
Stan Kroenke,
or that wonderful guy in Carolina, Dave Tepper. Yeah, I think they are.
You didn't get to meet him.
I think they're going to shove out the money because they have the funds to do it. They have the pockets deep enough to do it. You know, so the Bengals, I mean, they have to. You know, they're probably more inclined to stick with the contracts that they've already negotiated, and they count that as a win for them. But I think that if the Bengals are actually serious about winning this year, they have to find a way to make this thing work with Trey, because I think even with Trey on the team this year, this defense is still a bottom 10 defense in the league. Without Trey, it is probably the worst defense in the league. And I don't even think it's particularly close.
I mean, because you can only put so much faith in Cam Taylor-Britt playing like you think like. It's a lot of these, like, well, you know, we've seen those flashes. You know, Miles Murphy, he's finally gonna do something. You know, McKinley Jackson, you know, maybe he's gonna take a year two jump. Chris Jenkins, but it's a lot of those ifs. But on the defense, the one consistent that you know what you're gonna get is Trey Henderson.
Yeah, and also the highest correlated aspect of a defense that correlates to win percentage in the NFL is pass rush. That is the most important part of your defense. Yeah, you can have a bunch of decent coverage guys, but if you don't have the pass rush in order to get to the quarterback and put some pressure on him, that's going to expose your coverage unit. And, you know, and I have the pass rush win rates of the other edge rushers on the team, and they don't even come close to what Trey produced last year. I mean, Trey produced a 20% pass rush win rate. That ranked fourth in the NFL in 2024. Joseph Osai, 9.3%, 33rd percentile. Shamar Stewart posted a 13 pass rush win rate in college. How much is that going to go down in the NFL in his rookie season? It's going to go down a little bit because of the level of competition he's playing. It's probably going to be more around 8 or 9%. You got Cam Sample, who posted a 9% pass rush win rate in 2023, did not play in 2024 with the season-ending injury. That was also 33rd percentile. Miles Murphy, 10.2%, 44th percentile, and Cedric Johnson, 9.4%, 33rd percentile. So you don't even have another edge rusher on the team that's even top half in the league in the pass rush department. So if you had other guys on this roster that you could plug in and play and have somewhat of a similar production to Trey Hendrickson. Not maybe not 20% pass rush win rate good, but at least 15%. Maybe you feel a little bit better about this. And I think that's honestly where why Joe came out and said, hey, I want Trey to get paid. Because if Trey doesn't get paid and Trey doesn't play, this team probably doesn't make the playoffs this year.
Freddie asks, do you think the original plan was to pay Trey and then somehow he got done and they were just going to let him walk kind of thing?
Freddie, I think that the situation was to get Trey paid. And it's not the T thing that curtailed everything. It was the Myles Garrett $40 million a year situation with the Cleveland Browns. That contract extension really threw a wrench into the Bengals' plans.
Because Ja'Marr Chase was going to get paid no matter what. He was going to get paid no matter what. And I think T. Higgins, after the Dallas game, when Joe Burrow said, I want to keep T. Higgins, then T. Higgins was going to stay. Because Joe Burrow gets what Joe Burrow wants.
And also, T. Higgins signed a very team-friendly contract.
He did.
For his extension.
He did. There's no question about that. Let's talk about the Bengals side here and what they're coming from. Because they have a lot to say in this as well. Biggest thing with Trey Hendrickson, we've talked about this a lot, is he's 30 years old and he'll be 31 this season. Father time comes for us all. Has he shown a sign of slowing down? No, not at all. Turned in arguably his best season of his career last year when he was 29/30. But it comes for us all. For edge rushers who have signed at age 30 currently. So Myles Garrett, I guess, was 29 because he's not listed on my list here when he actually signed the deal. So when these players were 30, here is their average annual value. So right now, currently in the league. So they have Cam Hayward listed there. I know he's not really an edge, but $14.5 million. Khalil Mack, $18 million. Kyle Van Noy, $4.5 million. Leonard Floyd, $10 million. Lawrence, $10.8 million. Reddick, $14 million. Hunter, $35.6 million. Armstead, $14.5 million. So Danielle Hunter is the outlier.
He is.
In this realm. And you would probably make the strongest argument that he's the best player on that list of 30-year-old edge rushers.
Probably Cam Hayward, but yes.
But okay. Cam Hayward, but also Cam Hayward's 95 years old now. But
yeah, still, he also posted the best season of his career last year.
Which is wild that he's 175 years old and still doing what he is. But, so you're seeing this, and you're seeing all of these numbers for 30-year-old edge rushers are about what Trey Hendrickson is making right now. Now, again, like we've said, Trey Hendrickson you could make a strong argument is the best player that if we throw him in there, he's the best player on this list.
Yeah.
You could make that argument.
I mean, him and Cam Hayward, yes.
And you would maybe give Trey Hendrickson the nod because he's 5 or 6 years younger. Because I think Hayward's like 36, 37, somewhere in that realm.
And also,
that's the Bengals' thought process with this. Is that's why they don't want to sign him to a long-term extension.
Yeah. And also the Cam Hayward situation, that the rest of that defense is so solid. They have such a good pass rushing unit that he probably is in a lot more one-on-one situations where he's able to produce, right? Mm-hmm. So that's another thing. And then also that defensive line's deep enough where he doesn't have to play as many snaps as he maybe would have had to play, you know, say on our defense. So, but that's where Trey is probably the best guy on that list. He's been underpaid his entire career. And I get where his frustrations are coming from. He's been underpaid. He's produced. And like you said, father time comes for us all. This is probably his last chance to get the money he feels like he deserves. And I'm never going to get mad at a guy for trying to make the amount of money they think they're worth. I mean, I hate
when
people criticize it. Yeah. I mean, anybody that criticizes that, I mean, what if it were you and your situation with your job and you had your employer try to lowball you when you've outperformed your metrics or whatnot? So, I mean, it's a tough situation. I feel like this wouldn't be an issue for probably 90% of the other NFL teams. I think they would have found a way to make this work.
Because the question is now, and even we can kind of dive into the next aspect of this is, you know, Trey Hendrickson, I think what he wants is he'd love a 3-year extension.
3-year deal. Yeah.
3-year deal for like $90 million. Let's just say that, because that's 30 a year. Yeah. We'll just for the sake of conversation, we'll just say that. And listen, can the Bengals afford that? Yes. Like, I mean, they probably can't. You know, it would get a little hairier late in the deal. And how the Bengals would probably want to do it is they'd want an out probably after year two.
Yeah.
Because that's just how the Bengals do it. And honestly, that's how they should do it in a deal like that.
Yes.
Because, like I said, Father Time comes for us all.
Now that is $60 million worth of guarantees you need to have in liquid cash.
And that's maybe, yeah, if it's guarantee or anything, you know. But is that smart, though, for the Bengals to do that?
No, and I think it's a great topic of discussion here. Are you going to mortgage your future on a guy who is 30, say he's 31 years old, right?
He'll be 31 30, in December.
Okay. A 30 and a half year old edge rusher whose production could start falling off at any time now. And I get that it's not, you may not want to hedge your future on that type of situation. That's why I think I'm not sure what the end game is going to be, because for what I've heard, and I'm not sure how credible what I've read was, I think the Bengals did offer him a $28 million, a pay raise up to $28 million for this season, which is something that I kind of thought would have happened. I think I talked about it on the show last week.
That would make him the fifth highest paid edge rusher in the NFL, because Joshua Hines Allen is like 28.2. So he'd be in that same realm.
So, I mean, it's such a messy and sticky situation for both guys here, for both parties. And it puts the team in a pretty tough situation too, because it's more drama that they're dealing with coming into training camp here, coming into OTAs, coming into training camp. It's
not great. I genuinely think both are probably right and both are probably wrong in some aspects of this. But I think the biggest thing with this, and I think both sides are at fault of this, is they're overvaluing themselves. And what I mean by that is Trey Hendrickson is probably overvaluing what he's worth as a almost 31-year-old edge rusher in the NFL. Like I've been underpaid. Yeah, absolutely. That sucks. That might be on your agent. You know, like, sorry. Yeah,
should have never signed that contract extension.
Yeah, yeah. Which let's come back to that, because I think that's an important discussion for us to have as well. And then I think the Bengals have also overvalued what Trey Hendrickson is in the realm of, honestly, what was the right thing the Bengals should have done is they should have traded him a month ago. And they should have gotten a day two and potentially a day three pick and done something like that. They probably should have tried to work something out.
Yeah.
That probably would have been the right way to do it, but they were overvaluing what they have.
Yeah.
With Trey Hendrickson. Hendrickson is overvaluing himself.
It's still not too late for them to get a decent trade out of.
But can they afford to take a trade on Trey Hendrickson right now, though? Because you're not going to be getting something back that is probably going to. Because I know, like, one of the deals that, because I liked Paul Daner Jr., he did a piece in The Athletic where he asked for deals to be sent. And one of the ones that was sent was from the Packers. And I think it was Lucas Van Ness and a pick. We'll just say a pick for Trey Hendrickson, because I think that's going to be a deal that you'd want if you're going to trade Trey Hendrickson now, is that you're hoping to get another edge rusher in there.
Yeah.
And I don't know that you're going to be able to find that right now.
Yeah. I mean, it would be the exact opposite of the Trey extension situation, where you're kind of mortgaging your future for a season or two of Trey Hendrickson, where if you decide to trade him away, you're mortgaging your 2025 season on future seasons. And it's probably probably the better way to look at it, honestly, is to be a little more forward-looking than what you currently are. But that's not going to fly with some players in the building, I don't think. I don't think that's going to fly with Joe. We've already missed out on the playoffs two seasons in a row. He's itching to get back there and to get this team on a run in January and maybe hopefully February. So it's you know, say if you've been going to the playoffs the past couple of seasons, and yeah, maybe it's time to trade away Trey and to maybe reset the roster a little bit, get a little bit younger, get those picks. Get a third year player like Lucas Van Ness. Maybe that'd make more sense. But you have this team that's probably itching to get back to the postseason. That's where the Bengals are in a sticky situation in that regard.
Freddie asks, if it was T or Chase not done, do you think Burrow would have been more outspoken than he was, or was he on par with how he's been with T and Chase? He was more with T and Chase because, for one, those are his boys. Like, and I don't think he likes Trey, obviously, but Burrow knows that, you know, like, if you were giving him the choice of Jamar and T or Trey Hendrickson, he's going to take Jamar and T.
Yeah.
Because he's a quarterback and that makes his job easier.
Yeah, directly affect their, he can maybe not directly, he can indirectly affect how they perform on the field. By
whereas he has no impact on Trey Hendrickson, really.
He can't play. Yeah, he doesn't play defense. So, yeah, if you're a quarterback and those have been your guys, they've been, you know, top 10, top 15 receivers, you know, throughout the entire time you're playing there. Yeah, you want to bring those guys back because your production has been at the top of the league when those guys are on the field.
You mentioned the biggest loser in all of this. And the biggest failure in all of this is Trey Hendrickson's agent. And I know Tommy has brought up the point that supposedly the Bengals said that they were going to sign him to a longer-term extension for that. I don't know that I necessarily believe that. And even if it was true, like, why are you trusting any NFL franchise?
That's not a Bengals.
That is a NFL thing. Like, it's the business.
Oh, no. Well, I'd say I'd never trust an NFL franchise in that regard, especially the Cincinnati Bengals, because they have to.
He never should have signed that extension.
He shouldn't have. I agree.
It was a mistake. And I'm sure he knows it's a mistake. And his agent, I'm honestly stunned that Trey Hendrickson didn't fire his agent after that.
Yeah. Never hinge anything on a promise that's not in writing.
Yes. And especially something that's just a one-year promise.
Yeah.
Especially when you know you're getting to be 30 or 31. You know, you just go into all of this. His agent is the biggest loser in all of this.
Yeah, and we don't know if the agent was the one that was driving him to sign that contract. I mean, as far as we could be concerned, Trey has loved being a part of the Cincinnati area. He's loved being a part of the team. You know, he's talked about this as being his home. This is obviously where his kids have been raised for the past few years. You know, so maybe Trey was willing to take, a discount, I guess, for that 1 year contract extension because of situations like that. Maybe the agent was also taking that into consideration when he was doing his fiduciary duties, I guess. But yeah, I mean, that contract extension makes everything a lot worse, and it makes it a lot harder for both sides to kind of get to an agreement here or to just move on.
Now I ask you this. Where do we go from here?
I mean,
and you know what? You want to know what I wrote down here? I wrote down five words. I legitimately have no idea. I don't know. Like, what do you do?
I mean, I don't know. I'm hoping that Trey ends up coming to the table with this extra money for the 1 year extension here. I mean, maybe 28 is not the number you want. If the Bengals are willing to maybe squeeze in another $2-3 million, get them up to that $30-31 million range.
Is money or years more important to Trey?
I mean, it's probably years, because it is probably years that matters more, because he's, like you said, he's been underpaid for the past 4 years. He probably wants to make that up in some regard.
I mean, would he sign three for 75, which is $25 million, or a 1 year for 32?
I mean, he would rather sign the 3 for 75, but Trey also has to realize that, you know, is he going to walk away from $32 million for the 2025 season? And that's top five edge rusher money.
Tommy says, you offer 2 years, $63 million, $50 million guaranteed, and if Trey declines, call other teams. T. Brookie says, my guess is 2 years, $62 million, so very similar to Tommy here, with 40 guaranteed. So very, very similar deals put forth there. And I think Freddie's right that he wants guarantees. And that's not something the Bengals really like to give out. and
oh, they just signed T for only $30 million guaranteed.
Yeah. I mean, Burrow, Orlando Brown Jr., and I think Jamar are really like the only players they've ever given guarantees to. So they've changed in the last couple of years to do that. But the common thread for all of those guys is that they were younger.
Yeah.
And they were ascending players. And is Trey Hendrickson an ascending player in the NFL right now?
I mean, right now he might be, just because he's ascended every year that he's played. I mean, he's gotten better pretty much every season. 2022 and 2023 is the only, if we're looking at defensive grade, that's the only drop-off year that he had, and then he posted an 88 last year. So he's been ascending every year. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Trey may age like fine wine, like a Cam Hayward, and just keep on putting up elite numbers up until his mid 30s. But
or he'll age like we have been aging.
Exactly.
And then at that point, it's not going to go well, right?
See, I always thought that the Miles Murphy draft pick was them essentially saying, we got to move on from Trey after this 4 year deal's over. And then the 1 year contract extension happened. And we were like, what in the hell are these guys doing? You know, what is the long-term plan of this team? I guess that ended up being more the Sam Hubbard out, I guess, was the Miles Murphy draft pick. But yeah.
Here's the question for you right now. September the 8th or whatever that is, week one, Cincinnati Bengals at the Cleveland Browns. Is Trey Hendrickson on the field in a Bengals uniform?
I think he is. I still think it's going to get worked out eventually.
Percentage chance?
60%.
Okay. Now, what is the percentage of the, like, of that 40 is, what percentage, like, how does that divvy up? Because I think there's of that 40% is, there is the, he's holding out. He's pulling a Chris Jones, right?
I'd say that's 15%. We'll say 25% a team trades for him.
Trey has no other place to go, T. Brookie says. I don't
go to the suite. He could go to the suite, or he could be
pull a Jesse Bates.
He could, or pull a Chris Jones. Probably the best. Yeah. The best.
Well, Jesse Bates sat in the suite in the preseason game.
He did.
Maybe we can give him our tickets to the Colts game. He can sit up there with us. Tommy says Trey won't play week one if he doesn't get a new deal, but I think he sits out only 1 week. So you're saying home opener is Tommy's prediction will be the first game that Trey plays. I still think he's going to be a Bengal in 2025.
Yeah.
Because there's just too much money to just walk away from. But as I was having a conversation with somebody a little bit earlier, I was telling them about this, I said, wouldn't it be nice? And this is more of the that fans have this mentality, because it's hard for us to wrap our brain around making that much money. Like, wouldn't it be nice to be, though, in a situation, be like, you know what, I don't really need $18 million. I'm just gonna roll the dice and say that I don't want that. Like, it's just so hard. And I think that's part of the reason why fans kind of turn on Trey and turn on players in situations like this, because it's so hard for us to wrap our brain around $18 million. Like, that's just like, I don't know. Like, well, yeah. I'll never make $18 million.
Yeah, I mean, and it's the other situation I think with this is that is Trey going to end up playing himself in this situation if the Bengals do offer him a $30 million, you know, an extra 15 mil on top of the 16 that he's making for 2025, and he turns that down, is a Le'Veon Bell type of situation going to happen where he ends up making less money than what the Steelers ended up offering him before they placed that tag on? You know, is Trey going to end up, because there's a good chance.
Is he willing to take that risk?
There is a really high chance that Trey ends up playing himself here, because other teams after, you know, say he sits out the entire year, they're going to be like, okay, 32-year-old edge rusher. We are
that 2 years.
He hasn't played in the year. We're 2 years removed from him playing NFL football. He played at a really high level 2 years ago. But am I going to be willing to give him that $35 million a year that
hell no.
You know, edge rushers are probably going to be making towards that time?
Hell no. And I mean, if the Bengals are going to trade Trey Hendrickson, they are going to need a Carson Palmer-esque return.
Yeah. I think...
Now, and I'm not saying that should be their mentality. I'm just saying that I think that's what they are going to want, because they are going to want.
And they've already pretty much said that that's what they want as well. I mean, we've talked,
and I don't think they're stubborn. They're not going to change their mind.
No,
stubborn to a fault, you could even say.
So, but
I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like if he sits out, I mean, who knows how that message rubs across to the rest of the team? You know, how the front office, I mean, the front office dealings the past 2 years has probably rubbed pretty much everybody in that locker room the wrong way to an extent. I mean, to a point where Joe Burrow is out there publicly advocating for his players to get paid, for his teammates to get paid. And, you know, there's other guys that may be looking at potential contract extensions, you know, this time next year, probably definitely not to the extent of a Trey Hendrickson situation. I was going to say,
that's the one thing is, okay.
Not a lot of people are going to get it. Probably not a lot.
Cam Taylor Britt?
Yeah. Maybe Cam Taylor Britt.
Dax Hill? Like, I know Dax Hill, you got the 5th year option, but you'd at least start to have that conversation. But like, there aren't that many. Orlando Brown Jr., like, would you maybe look into adding, if he has another really good year this year, his contracts start to come up? I don't know. I think we've pretty much gone over this, though, and I think we both agree, though, that I don't think there was a result of this that would surprise me.
No.
I don't think there's a result that would surprise me, and that kind of scares me, but it's not like we can do anything about it. That'll pretty much wrap us up here for this week. Next week, I think, do we have to do our annual Ring of Honor breakdown?
Oh, God. Sure.
Because Ring of Honor nominees came out earlier this week. So we'll do that. We did it last year, so it'll be kind of similar to last year's show, but we gotta figure out who we're voting for, even though I think it's probably going to be pretty safe. We're going to have the same votes, but I think it's at least a discussion point.
Why are they not throwing
Geno in?
Additional people onto this ballot is beyond me,
because I think they want to get these guys in.
Well, so what they get, we got what, 9 guys left now. So they're going to wait until these 9 guys get in before they put anybody else in the ballot.
I bet we get 1 or 2 more years of this, and then they'll start to go and add some more of those aspects in. Schubert asks, who signs first, Shamar Stewart or Trey?
Shamar Stewart.
Without question. Yeah, without question. I mean, Shamar Stewart, I think, could be relatively soon. But remember to follow us on our social media channels, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, favorite podcasting platform. Give us a 5-star rating that way. You got any parting thoughts?
No. Enjoy your Memorial Day weekend.
Yes, take 3-day a 4-day weekend
if you can. Yeah. Enjoy some pool action if you can. Actually, I heard it might be cold out this weekend. So.
Yeah, it's going to be like 60. So maybe find if you have a heated pool.
Yeah, or if you have a heated pool.
That would be good. All right.
Peter Jim Irsay.
Yeah, we talked about that earlier. Alex, if you would have listened to the entire show, you would have picked it up. But some people don't listen to the entire. Can you believe that, Mick? That some people just come in demanding we talk about things, but he doesn't actually watch the show to find out? Jerks, right?
I mean, well, we have talked about it if I didn't come across my feed when...
See, I was going to bring it up to you when we were talking before we started the show to see if you'd seen it, because it was literally when I was walking in my house, it was the first thing I saw when I looked down. I was like, oh, dang. That's terrible. That's terrible.
I've always liked Jim Irsay.
Seems like he'd be a fun guy to have a drink with.
pour one out. Pour one out for Irsay here. No, you can't do it with soda.
Yeah, Dr. Pepper. This is water. That doesn't work either.
No.
All right. We'll see you next week. Next week's edition of Jungle Juice. Mick, Hude.
Hude, thanks for watching.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply. Available in app only.